How is it that I always get stuck with you on rooftop stakeout duty?
I'm sorry, Stu, are we not friends?
It's Eustace, and we never were.
Tease.
Shut up and sit down.
Fine.
Ow.
What now?
Sat on my dice.
Is that a euphemism?
No, see? Actual metal dice.
Where did you get those?
The crazy woman. But you can buy them at MetallicDiceGames.com.
MetallicDiceGames.com?
Yeah. And you can get 10% off from the Rancor's brothel. Or was that for the brothel?
Cecil.
Sorry, what? Yes. 10% off at checkout using code RBP10.
MetallicDiceGames.com, promo code RBP10?
Correct, my friend.
Yeah, we still aren't friends.
Don't care. Damn it.
What is it this time?
I have to pee again.
Just go.
Fine, but no peeking.
Wouldn't dream of it.
Nope, not gonna happen.
What the hell happened?
Nothing. Why didn't we go with the ball-shaving one?
The Rancor's Brothel presents... A Dungeons & Dragons Adventure. Nev Thelian.
Anyway, yes. So just small fee. Welcome, of course. Do you need a map?
Sure. I'll pay him 10 gold. It's not worth arguing over.
Oh, come on.
Nushka slaps 20 gold on the table and keeps walking.
Very good. Thank you. Welcome to the... In fact, I said that already. Yes, well, you're still welcome, I guess. Thank you.
Thanks, darling.
If just so you're aware, this is the Conjuration Wing. If you go all the way down the big hall outside, you end up at the central hub thingy. I know there's a name for it. Anyway, and there's like a wing for each school specialty thing.
I look around. Does this teleportation circle or this area seem very traveled?
As you go out the door that was on the other side of the desk, you're at the end of a really long and really wide hallway. Also very tall. It in some ways reminds you of the hallways in the Bronze Palace in Valakur. Like, they're really big. But there's also...
Not just like vaulted ceiling, like decorative, like enormously big in comparison to the size of the door.
Yes, there's a bunch of there's a whole lot of doors along the side of this hallway, and you actually notice a symbol above the one that you just came through, and also several others. It looks like there's multiple circles here.
Gotcha. Interesting. Huh. I open one of the doors and peek in.
One of the other doors with the same symbol.
Yeah.
As you open it up, a gnome sort of turns, looks over his shoulder and says, "Yes, can I help you? Do you need to teleport somewhere?"
No, it's just, these, and I kind of point behind me, these are all teleportation circles?
Yes, did no one give you a map?
I got the map, and I hold up whatever it is that he gave me. I just haven't really looked at it yet.
I suggest looking at it.
Sure.
Have a good day.
Dick. Okay. I summon greater demon in the room and walk away. No, so how many, looking at the map, how many teleportation circles are there in this area?
It looks like there are 5 at the end of this corridor.
I am going to ask why they have so many. Like, why would they need more than one?
Are you going to ask the dwarf, or are you going to ask the gnome?
I wouldn't ask the gnome.
And are they all different symbols?
Yeah, I'm going to go back and ask the dwarf. Like, what's the deal with the different symbols and the multiple?
High traffic, I think, or it might be a security thing. One of those.
Okay.
Can I roll Arcana, please, to be something useful?
I mean, there's no particularly obvious reason.
Okay.
It just seems weird to me, but I mean, whatevs. So where? How?
I'm gonna ask him if he actually does get high enough traffic that think it justifies that being the real reason.
We're very busy, of course. Yes, you are like the 32nd person I have seen today. That is totally a true number. I think it's more like 4. But, you know, who am I to complain? They pay me to sit at the desk. It's, you know, not bad.
That's fair. That's fair. Any other discerning landmarks on this map we've been given?
So the Grand Institute of Artifice appears to be every bit as large as Iron Rose. The Department of Enchanting, however, dwarfs all of the other schools in terms of all the, like, floor space allotted to it. It's probably half the square footage of the university.
Wow.
And there are, like, not every little room is labeled or anything, but there's things like Control Lab 1, Control Lab 2, and then, like, Experimental Lab 1, 2. There's things like Component Storage, all sorts of stuff.
Nice. Does anyone have any interest in looking at the Enchanting School, or would you rather look for equipment to get out of here?
I mean, I have interest in learning from the Enchanting School and don't feel like we're in a rush, but I also don't. Rook would not want to hold up the party for his personal interests.
Well, chances are you have the opportunity to get, like, some fun enchanted weapons or something here.
I don't know what Dave's got in mind for opportunities for me, but, I mean, yeah, I'd love to see what they got going on around here, even if just to talk with some fellow enchanters about the craft.
Can we make a nib shit roll?
A what?
A nib shit roll.
That mean?
Where you just, like, fucking put your nose in things and ask questions in places you don't belong. I do it pretty much all the time in my daily life.
I do that too, but that's not a term I've ever heard before.
You've never heard
that
term
either.
Really? My mother uses it all the time, normally directed at me. It's like, you know, like the siren goes off, you know, like the tornado siren goes off, and instead of, like, going to shelter, you, like, go outside and start walking around the property looking for things. A house is on fire, you slow down, stop, and watch for a little while, you're nib-shitting.
Interesting.
Nope, never heard it.
Googling it.
Sounds like call to away with words is in order. Person who is nibby, or a nosy, inquisitive person. Well, now what is nibby? Interfering, inquisitive, nosy.
It's nibs all the way down.
Interesting. Learn something new on the Rancor's Brothel.
What? Is that allowed?
That's it. You can now officially qualify this whole thing as an educational podcast.
We used to have a special sound every time Matt learned something.
We had a lot of special sounds just for Matt.
We did.
I'm really annoyed this website, which is Dictionary of American Regional English, is going to tell me where nib shit comes from, but you have to create a username, and I don't know that I care that much.
Stupid fucking usernames.
I hope that if Matt ever listens to this and
he won't.
And I hope if he ever does and it is something new that he has learned, that in his head he hears that sound. I mean, all right. So to not waste, you know, time, if y'all want to go gear up for the mission, I'd love to spend some time talking with folks from the Enchanting School here.
It is identified. Okay. It is identified as circa the 1960s is American folk speech.
Okay, cool. Craig, what in particular are you looking for, or is it just enchanting at large?
I guess I probably should have thought about that in advance. Not like I'm looking for something specifically.
I will amend a little bit that you know about the Institute. The word artifice is in it for a reason, because they are very interested in actually enchanting items, not necessarily just the school of enchantment.
Right.
They make a lot of weird shit.
I guess I don't know. They have, like, an admissions office. I guess I would inquire about, like,
signing up for summer classes.
I suppose. Yeah,
you could go find someone who'd be happy to talk to you about stuff.
Because I guess like if it is a school or a university, it's not like show up and teach me shit one evening and then I take off. Like, it's, and they're not going to give away their knowledge for free, I assume.
Right.
So I guess I'll do, like, some basic inquiries into, like, after this adventure is over and there's no other immediate adventures for our party, maybe Rook will think about coming and enrolling here.
Okay, so you ask around, end up talking to people in charge of admissions, who are obviously quite happy to talk to prospective students. They're happy to explain, you know, the basics of whatever you're curious about, and you learn that, like, a lot of the enchanting stuff has to do with learning the proper recipes for what components are necessary for what sort of enchantments, and the theory behind why different components imbue certain properties in things, actually doing that in practice. And, you know, so usually workshops end up with, you know, baubles that you could end up selling. It is also mentioned that the streets of Nivenfire are filled with many such random enchanted baubles that have been sold, not all of which function exactly as intended.
Right.
I want one of those.
That goes from all of that basic sort of stuff all the way up to very advanced, like, straight up studying the legends of artifacts, or on the occasion that they're able to get a hold of them, actually studying artifacts themselves.
Is there a way to sort of gauge, like, what level I'm at as an artificer in their tiers?
If you sort of explain the stuff that you're interested in, they're like, oh, so you're more interested in the clockwork side of things and, like, creating a physical anchor for animation sort of stuff, whatever. They're like, yes, we have a whole side of study into that as well. And it's, like, just as focused on engineering as it is the magic side of it. The stuff that they are famous for isn't like, they've got a good chunk dedicated to that, but the stuff that they're really famous for isn't really the creation of items so much as the imbuing of stuff into an item, the magic part. And that's usually wizards that are doing that. So you'd probably be, like, a beginner if it came to the enchanting part, and it'd probably be intermediate in the engineering part.
Okay.
As this admissions person can tell that you're just sort of, like, not getting super invested or, like, I want to sign up now. They sort of, like, give you a look and be like, if you're just out and about and happen across some more exotic ingredients, there's always people around here willing to buy them.
Noted.
Blood from exotic creatures, ichor, feathers, teeth, eyes, that sort of thing. All very useful.
I bet we have that, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Do we not have that shit? Because that sounds like things that we would have, possibly.
Might. I've got to look at the
inventory. Oh, and of course, there's always a market for dragon scales.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course.
Does the map give you any idea in terms of where... What is this college called?
The Grand Institute of Artifice.
And is that the entire college?
That's the whole university.
Okay. Is this in the underground part or the upper city part?
You are in the underground part.
What kind of dragon scales are you looking for?
Well, I think probably they would buy any kind. There is, in particular, up on, a little bit further down in the Niven, below the university, there's an extremely talented smith who is a fire giant. And his name is Bjorg, and produces wonderful, wonderful work that the university often buys from him and then imbues with fancy things.
What do you do with it after you imbue it with fancy things?
I would mostly sell it.
Any of that around for sale?
Yes. You will want to talk to our quartermaster about that sort of thing. You may be familiar with the fact that Flodovica, and especially Nivenfire, is known for its mines. We pull a lot of very precious metals and gems from down below. So we specialize.
We're not going to any damn mines.
I was going to tell you that we pull a lot of mithril and adamantine out of those mines and make some very nice things with it.
Hey, Troy, do you want to split
the
party?
I am a fan of the adamantine armor.
Cody, what was that?
Do you want to split the party, Troy?
Split the party?
Well, I was going to suggest that Jeff and Craig stay down here and look and see what sort of items they have to offer, and then maybe you and I can go and start learning about supplies and getting travel arrangements set up. Sort of kill two birds with one stone kind of thing.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, I'll head up with the priest then. Grandmama, I'm looking for a random grenade. I don't care what type, but I think that that would be cool. Preferably something that explodes on a D100 chart.
I will keep that in mind.
Thanks.
And where can I find this quartermaster?
So you get directed towards a area near the entrance to the university, which is essentially a two-story magic item shop, which a few particularly notable things about it. All of the items inside appear to be in display cases, and the entrance to the shop, and also at several points throughout it, you see several clockwork creatures, constructs, all just sort of standing stock still, sort of just basically standing as guards.
This doesn't sound familiar at all.
As you enter the shop, excuse me, a male Duergar who looks quite old, has a little bit of dirty hair, very gray, and has on a sort of bright red coat, walks up to you and says, "Hello, welcome to the Grand Institute of Artifice. Whatever strange items you might desire, we create. What are you in search of today?"
Little of this, little of that.
That is very imprecise and unhelpful. Try again.
How many robes of useful items do you have?
You like the lottery, I take it. They are, in fact, a fairly common thing that students like to cut their teeth on. Probably because they enjoy the lottery, too. most often they lose money on them, of course, because it takes cost to create the magic and that sort of thing. However, in order to sell them here, they have to not plunder them themselves. So we don't have quite as many as you might expect, because, you know, students, as soon as they make one, they're like, "Ooh, what's this?" and start ripping patches off. Not very helpful for me. Anyway, I think I have three.
Okay. What do you have in the way of adamantine armor?
Ah, now, that is a more interesting topic. Obviously, we just have adamantine armor. Walks over and, like, taps a breastplate that's hanging on a mannequin. But, of course, you're probably more interested in more exotic things, yes?
I'm very interested in it, yes.
Now, please do not take this as a slight, but just so that we do not waste each other's time, you do have the necessary liquid assets for this sort of thing?
I don't know yet. I don't know what the necessary liquid assets are.
Fair counterpoint.
Threatened to slit his throat, Grandmama.
How about, are you up for some bartering?
It would have to be particularly interesting. I will not rule it out.
I guess before, I'll pull out the Sword of Ice and Fire.
Okay.
Because I think.
May I?
Absolutely.
The
I'm
sword
just
of
confirming.
What?
The Sword of Ice and and Fire.
We picked up in the last session. Okay.
From the Sky Temple.
But I don't think any of us were.
I forget what that was.
Wasn't just a long sword or a short
was
sword.
It? Okay.
But it gets plus D4 ice and plus D4 fire.
Right.
Now, adamantine armor is just, you get, like, specialties on crits or something?
You're immune to crits. Yeah.
That's right.
He takes the sword and sets it on a counter that appears to have, like, to be topped with, like, a mithril metal plate that has runes carved all around, like, embossed into it. And as he sets the sword down on it, he mutters something, and all of the runes suddenly light up a teal glow. And he takes out a loop and peers through it at the sword, and is just sort of mumbling him to himself. And as he goes, says, and after 30 seconds or so, he looks up and says, "This is old. Very interesting.
Still works, though.
It's like, well, yes, and sort of runs the thumb along it. Yes, nice and sharp. It's a nice piece. Might I ask its provenance? How you obtained it?
Just found it, and I'll tell him whatever the name of the sky temple was, or if we don't know that, I'll found it down in the Song Isles.
Green Song Isles. It's like, well, very interesting. If you were willing to spend some time to write down your story and everything, a good story always makes a piece sell better. However, that's fine if you don't have the time. I think I would be willing to give, well, if I would just pay you in coin, I would be willing to give you 6,000 gold pieces for it. If you were willing to trade it for, credits for buying something else, I might make it worth a little more, because obviously I want to incentivize sales. So, shall we do business?
Absolutely. I'd be interested in some adamantium ingots.
No, just plain ingots?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't actually sell those, because nothing magic about them. However... Fair. There's plenty of them for sale in the city. If you go talk to the mining guild, they control the rates.
Okay. So here's my thought, Jeff, is... Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Here's my thought, Jeff, is I can craft you some adamantium armor if I can rent a forge and get the ingots.
Right. I'm thinking that the School of Enchanting might have some weird experimental stuff, and that's kind of what I'm interested in, but... But yeah, if that's all it is, then that's fine. I've got adamantine armor as it is. I can let you enchant it or whatever. But
gotcha. I thought you had adamantine armor, but then I was thinking maybe I was wrong since you were inquiring about it.
Mm-hmm. So what do you have in the way of fancy adamantine armor?
All right, let us talk. So he leads you over and says, first. We start with this, holds up a chain shirt made of adamantine.
That's something a little heavier than that.
No? Don't even know what it does?
Sure. Tell me.
Well, okay. This one was commissioned by a well-renowned thief, shall we say. In addition to its own usual properties, it has been enchanted to be specifically helpful for... being quiet, for sneaking around.
Hmm.
And three times a day, you can add 1d4 to a stealth check.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
But you are interesting, perhaps, madam, in very, plate, probably.
Nothing too heavy, but...
Not plate.
No.
Half plates?
Mechanically, I can go up to medium armor. And I'm honestly not sure where medium stops. I think it's breastplate.
Half plate is the highest AC you can get. It does give disadvantage on stealth.
So does the scale mail that I've got on.
Yeah. Well, then perhaps half plate. Walks over to a different thing. And this particular suit here was originally bought by a sailor who wanted to protect himself, but was also inordinately scared of drowning. And so this particular suit, you wear it, you cannot sink in water. You will always swim at the surface.
Surface or it's water walking?
No, you do not walk in the water, but you cannot sink. But additionally, it also helps you swim faster.
This armor, it has floaties on the arm. They keep you from going down.
Right, so even if I needed to swim down, it won't let
me. That's right. That is true.
Okay, cool. Any other medium armor?
Sure. There is this breastplate here. This one was a ceremonial one that was created. Not for a local fellow, but actually for someone in Ristergym. But someone who needed to dazzle at court, essentially. So this suit here, essentially grants you advantage on persuasion checks made against people in like a a noble setting, like in courts or
gotcha.
That sort of thing. But additionally, grants the friends cantrip and the ability to cast charm person 3 times a day.
Nice.
What does the friends cantrip do?
Gives you advantage on charisma checks, I think. Ah. Isn't it? Or is it like the like a charm person?
It's not nearly as useful as charm person. I can look it up real quick.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up too.
Apparently it's not in there.
For the duration, you have advantage on all charisma checks directed at one creature of your choice that isn't hostile towards you. When the spell ends, the creature realizes that you used magic to influence its mood and becomes hostile towards you.
Yeah, so it's not useful in those court settings, mm-hmm. But the armor gives advantage for those that setting anyway.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
So I got one for you to look at that I might be interested in selling, and Nushka will pull out the Mithril Greatsword that was found in Nephthelion.
Oh, interesting. May I?
Yep.
Okay, so once again, takes it over to that examination area and begins examining it, and then looks up a moment later and says, this is even older than the other one. This is also elvish work, which is, I don't see much of it around here.
I thought you might be interested.
Yes, although it is not particularly interesting as far as enchantments go, but it is very fine workmanship.
And it has an interesting provenance.
Well, would you like to write it down?
Sure, of course.
Maybe once we have the whole thing.
Given its antiquity and unusual craftsmanship, I'd be willing to give 1,500 gold for it.
Okay, I'll hang on to that.
All right. Perhaps this might be of interest to you, especially sort of points at the furs you're wearing, says, given your perhaps heritage, walks over to a set of adamantine that you can only sort of see that it's adamantine underneath everything because it looks like it has a whole bunch of ice crystals hanging off of it. This was an enchantment first discovered by ice giants and then passed on to dwarves later. This is very good. Helps with northern climates and all that sort of thing. It grants resistance to cold damage and advantage on con saves against being in a cold place, cold environment.
And we should have pulled this thread earlier.
I was just saying, we already did cold ore.
So what do these run? Ballpark.
This specific one, or?
Yeah, sure.
This specific one would be about 8,000.
$6.8 billion.
The swimming one would probably run about 3,500. The ceremonial breastplate over there, that one is about 4,000.
Do you have any, bowls or cisterns or any sort of devices that have to do with conjuring elementals?
Ah, are you referring to those very rare sorts of things, or?
Yes, I am referring to the rare items of commanding various types of elementals.
The ones that are worth like 400,000 gold or whatever?
drop 100 off of that. And
well, yeah, not quite.
I'm accounting for inflation.
I do not have a complete set, but I do have two. I have a brazier for commanding fire elementals, and I also have the bowl for the water elementals. Both of those run 4,700 each.
Well, that seems to be in line with this discerning merchant's price guide I have here with me. Okay. Jeff, I would be more interested in spending the bulk on those. Cause it,
I'm good. I don't need any of it.
Pivoting back towards Nushka, he'll say, I can see you're not yet impressed. How about this? And walks you over to a set of splint, adamantine splint mail. So this was crafted some couple hundred years ago in the Enchanted, actually by priests, not by us. However, it is coming to our possession. And I won't try to say this in character. Grants a +2 bonus to AC, resistance to necrotic damage. And as a bonus action, you can force all undead within 30 feet of you to make a charisma save. And they take 46 radiant damage on a failed save, half as much on a successful. And that's usable once per day, that part.
That sounds pretty cool.
What kind of item was that?
It's heavy armor.
This is called Shade Hunter armor.
Fancy.
So let's metagame on that for a second. That's 19 AC total, which is higher than anything in the book standard. Yep. And has advantage on undead, which may become useful later in the campaign.
Yep.
What are you pricing that at?
470 gajillion gold.
No, sir. This one is 11,000 gold.
Ooh wee. Okay.
However, with the sword you are offering, I will give 7,500 in credit for the sword.
Okay. Throw in the sword that Jeff's got, and we're still a few thousand short. So we might be able to get there if we get creative, or we might have to come back and see if it's still in stock later.
I have barely enough in reserve for one of my gems to do something cool.
What gems?
Well, I got a spell here that would be awesome to use, but I need 1,000 GP gem.
Ah, right, as you do.
Yeah. And I need a name.
That.
Yeah.
You had one.
Different spell, I think.
Would you like to delve too greedily and too deep?
Always.
If Kellen is getting bored of following people around a magic item shop, or what, did you not? Did you?
Yeah, I was going to say we can start. If the goal was to allow other characters to be other places in case you wanted to jump the narrative back and forth. So I'm good if wherever you want to put me.
In that case, if you wanted to wander around to different parts of the Institute, you could go looking for that sort of thing.
Or whatever. Like I said, I was just splitting the party in two. So if you wanted to play with a couple characters in one place and then a couple characters in another, I just like to provide my DM with lots of options.
Well, I'm asking if you want to go looking for stuff or if you want to go up to the city.
I want to go up to the city. Troy, where do you want to go? Bueller?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Okay. So exiting the Grand Institute of Artifice, you find yourself on a wide terrace sort of thing that is probably about 50 feet wide and serves as basically this giant outer balcony that overlooks the Niven, the massive pit in the center of the city, going downward toward the mines. And looking down, like if you walk to the edge of it, to the railing there, and look down, you can see that it's, you know, another good like 20 stories down. And they're not short stories either. They're, you know, big, tall, like 30-foot stories. And there's below you, crisscrossing the pit, are a few like stone bridges that actually are full height and like have shops built along the side of them. You can see a whole bunch of traffic crisscrossing the pit down below. And also walking along each of the terraces along each level below. Above you, up one floor, you can see light coming in from a massive archway in the side of the mountain. And directly opposite that archway, there is the big gap of the top of the Niven. And set into like the very top of the pit and opposite the entrance to the mountain is carved a fabulous edifice of the palace. Think sort of like the carvings at Petra, that style sort of thing. Except the carvings depict all sorts of different events, but there are also just big pillars in the midst of them. Going from the entrance to the palace, there is a purple bridge of light that crosses the Niven. And you can actually see a wagon driving across that glowing, like, force field almost.
Huh. So the edifice, we're not talking about like a what I want to say. So this is actually carved and cut into the surface of the stone there. It's not like it's not decorative. It is actually functional. So it is the front of something that is cut into the rock.
It's the front wall of the palace, basically.
Right. Well, when you said edifice, I wasn't sure if you meant like something that was strictly pictorial or something that was also functional. It sounds like it's pictorial and functional.
Yeah. I mean, just from looking at it, you're not sure whether or not the palace uses up the same height as the stuff that's carved on the outside, but
sure. But it isn't just an image. It is definitely something I can walk into.
Oh yeah, there's a big gate that bridge leads to.
And is there some sort of Asgardian who's standing across this rainbow bridge, or
there's plenty of guards at either end of it, but the bridge itself doesn't really have anything on it unless it's going back and forth.
What do we know about the Palace of Niven Fire? This particular structure.
You could roll a history check.
Troy, you got history?
Who?
No.
Oh. No.
I got some, not a lot.
Inari was the history person.
18, thank you very much.
Okay. You know that the palace was built about 600 years ago. And early on, there was a physical bridge here. However, the city was like 80 years later or so, the city was actually sacked in a war. And that was also before the Grand Institute of Artifice really became a big thing. And after the war, some like 50 years later, once they've recovered and once the Institute had sort of sprung up, this magical bridge was created sort of as a reaction to that war. And also as a way for the Grand Institute of Artifice to sort of like prove their usefulness to the city.
So I'm assuming it can be shut off almost as like a defensive measure or something then.
Exactly.
Question. A war with who?
With Moutier, the predominantly elvish nation to the southeast.
Gotcha.
South. Oh, I see. So we're still, are we actually on the surface level when we're on this platform, or are we still subterranean?
You are one level below the entrance into the mountain.
Okay.
So the basically the palace and administration is the first level. Second level and a little bit lower is all the institute. And then below that is a whole bunch of residential and craftsman areas. Except for the mines at the very bottom, you know that the Niven is like kind of fairly upper class. Given the palace and the university and all of the particularly well-renowned craftsmen, this is the place to be.
Gotcha. I guess I'll just ask a random passerby. I'm assuming it's relatively busy on this level, yeah?
Yeah.
We're looking for supplies, my friend and I, to travel westward. Where's the easiest place to find mounts, carts, supplies, etc.? Is that on this level or is that farther up?
That sort of thing you would probably find down closer to the docks in the upper city.
Okay. Troy, do you want to explore anything on this level or do you want to go up and look for those supplies?
Let's go up and secure, passage or mounts or whatever, yeah.
Okay. Then we will go up and look for more supplies and mounts.
Okay. So that will have you leaving the mountain. And outside, the city sort of slopes down towards the river, which is, the early fork of the Vire River that heads down towards Valakur. And you have a pretty good vantage point as you come out of the mountain. You can see a whole bunch of barges in the river. You can see the road that heads off to the west, presumably towards Fort Rustin.
Mm-hmm.
You can also see like the small dots of what are probably horsemen and caravans moving along the road. And the part of the city that you're in at the moment appears to be mostly built of stone that was probably pulled out of the mountain. And you see a lot of bureaucratic sort of stuff in this area, a little like offices and places for taxes and census bureau and blah, 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 blah. Also some nicer looking townhouses. And then the further down the city it goes, the more it sort of gives way to wooden structures, especially as you get closer towards the river.
Yeah, just kind of get directions of where we can purchase supplies and mounts for an overland journey.
Mm-hmm. So once again, you get pointed down towards the docks where it appears that most of the caravans are either picking stuff up from barges or dropping them off there. So towards the river you would want to go. Excuse me. So you want to head down that direction?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay, you make your way through fairly busy streets, actually getting busier as you get closer to the docks, where it gets increasingly louder as well. Down there's a couple bridges that cross the river, and all along that area, you can see a whole bunch of wagons drawn up, horses at them. You can see offices for a number of different trading guilds, and there's one dwarf who's shouting angrily at a gnome about something next to a caravan, it seems. There's a bunch of bargemen casting off and using long poles to push themselves away and down into the river. Bustling place.
What kind of pack animals are we seeing?
Horses, mules, oxen.
And you said as we descended kind of, it sounds like we descended from coming, when we came up from the Nevin Fire, now we're descending obviously to get down towards the river, correct?
Right. So if the entrance to the Nevin Fire, to the Nevin rather, is a good, like a couple hundred feet up the side of the mountain. And as you come out of it, there's the slope down towards the river.
Sure. As we're coming down, I kind of want to pay, I mean, we've come down already, but as we were coming down, if I pay attention to the west, A, does there seem like a lot of travel heading west? And B, what sort of animals are, like, are we seeing caravans head that way or anything like that? And what animals are they using?
You do see a decent amount of traffic going west. It looks like they're predominantly using, like, mule-driven caravans. There are some horsemen traveling with caravans. There's also some going, you know, just on their own, lone riders or small groups. It's not as busy as you would see around Valakur, but still plenty of traffic.
Okay. Just walk up to someone who is very, very plainly dealing with pack animals and tack and so forth, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you need?
Looking for some supplies to head west.
Like big group, just you?
Just a handful of us, less than five.
Well, and any sort of there's a general store right down there.
General store.
Seems like it might be a long haul. Do you have any information as we head farther west? Type of terrain we'll be encountering, etc.
I mean, what, you gonna follow the road, Roston?
To Roston to start, yes. What have we got on the road between here and Roston? Anything to be aware of?
Plains are small bits of woods. I mean, if it rains, it's muddy. There's a couple small rivers that cross it, but nothing too wide. Easy to ford. There's a bridge at a couple of them.
How's the road? Simple dirt road? Well-traveled, not well-traveled?
It's stone close to the city, but that gives out pretty quick.
Sure.
We're noticing some like large caravans heading out. Do you know if there are any of those like heading out kind of all day passing through?
More or less. A whole bunch of stuff just came in from the river, so they're all setting out.
Are they all heading
towards... If you're looking to go that way, you could probably find someone to travel with, you know, safety numbers and all.
Are they all heading to the fort, or are they forking off farther, you know, short of the fort?
Oh, I'm sure some of them are just going to villages close by, but there's always somebody going out that way.
It's a solid idea, Troy. That might be something to look into.
Yeah, I mean, I figured it can't hurt, like he said, safety in numbers and, you know, pick up some meat shields.
he nods towards Alec and says, could be, you could even find work as a guard if you were up for that sort of thing.
Yeah, where are the caravans? So the caravans are being dispatched, I'm assuming, somewhere between the... Is it supplies from Nevin Fire that are heading out to Fort Roston?
Yeah, something like that.
Sure. I mean, surely if we're down on the docks, we're seeing that trade. So I would see if we could be pointed in the direction of the nearest caravan.
Okay. Are you looking to hire yourselves out, or are you just looking for traveling companions?
I think we're looking to trade passage for being guards, I guess.
I mean, yeah, okay, why not?
Like they would provide your food sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, like just something simple like that. That would make it a little easier, I think.
Go ahead and make a investigation check with advantage.
Ooh, I can do that. I got a good investigation. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, I don't. It's persuasion. Either way, advantage is good. Oh, God. With advantage, it is a 6.
Excellent investigation. If I'm allowed an investigation, the roll I made was a 22.
Okay.
His is good.
You split up a little bit. You stay within sight of each other. You just go around talking to people. And Alex, like, everyone I'm talking to is going to Lures or Mulverdam or a village close by. Eventually, the first few people you talk to, Kellen, are doing the same sort of thing. But within about 15 minutes or so, you find a caravan apparently headed up by a blue dragonborn who is heading out to Fort Roston and carrying along and it is basically a caravan full of metals that he's delivering to smiths to the garrison at Roston.
Hmm.
And is very interested in additional escort. He's got a few people, but not what he feels are enough. So he would be willing to hire on extra folks.
Sure. Do we need to provide our own mounts? Is this caravan? Are these wagons?
They'll be going slow enough that you could walk next to them if you wanted to.
Gotcha.
They'll provide food. And they're also willing to... Oh, shoot. What am I looking for? There we go. They are also willing to pay a silver piece per mile to you.
That's not awful.
No, not at all.
I mean, that's...
Each, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, that's 400 some odd miles.
Yeah, so like, ended up being about 40 gold a piece.
Does the blue dragon have a name?
But of course.
You had plenty of time to roll on that random table.
Yes, his name is Magog.
Magog, when do you plan to set out?
Well, I had been hoping for today, but given that some of my folks I was hiring didn't show up, looks like it'll be tomorrow. Especially if you can come along for the trip.
Well, I've got the Holy Man. Myself is an academic and wizard extraordinaire. A decent metal man, his metal dog, and a crazy old dwarven woman and her mount.
There you go. That's the tag. That's the sound bite to summon up this campaign.
If you give me a minute, I'll reach out to them, but I'm sure they'd be more than amenable to the terms that you have described.
They can hold their own?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've been literally all over this fucking continent already several times. I don't know why we can't make a 400-mile trip over land.
Good enough for me.
I will... hold on. Let me make sure I actually have the spell prepared instead of being a dick and assuming that I do.
I mean, if we're not leaving till tomorrow, you can get prepared overnight, right?
No. I wanted to send a message to Grandmama basically saying, hey, found passage with a caravan, bro. Seems like we can get to Roston, paid 40 gold apiece plus food, protecting some people, leave tomorrow. That sounds good to you?
Yep. No. Hey, bro. Yep.
I was going to say, you broke etiquette there.
You also need to end with stop. Because why not waste one of the 25 words?
Yeah.
I will go ahead and tell Magog that, we might double check we're buying supplies, but if he's willing to wait at least until morning to set out, we should be good to go as a party.
Okay. He tells you where the caravan is camped and to be there at dawn.
Have you made this trip from Nevenfire to Fort Roston before?
Oh, yeah. A dozen times.
Is there anything that we should be explicitly prepared for in terms of danger? Particular creatures, raiders?
There's the occasional gnoll raiding party. Once we get closer to Roston, there's more potential for raiders coming in out of the spawn lands. That's not too common, because the closer you get to the fort, they're also closer to the garrison, but it has happened to me once.
Cool. Sounds like a deal. I can't think of any other supplies unless the guys end up bartering for great magic items.
Okay. Back at the university, are you guys interested in purchasing any of those items? Those we've discussed, or other things?
No, I'm good.
I don't suppose you want to retcon availability to be Stone of Controlling Earth Elementals.
He's got what he's got.
So Mike, like, God, it would be really freaking awesome to take one of these things that lets you summon elementals. But the more I've been thinking about it, like, it's not exact, like, it would take several actions at the start of a combat to pull one out of a, if I even could pull it out of a bag of holding, if it would even fit, like, pull it out, throw it on the ground, either start a fire in it or dump some water into it, and then spend an action speaking the command word. It just seems like it's too many action steps, too many rounds.
It'd be more one of those things you'd want to use when you know you're going into a fight.
Right. And I don't know if I want to spend almost 5,000 gold on something that takes... That's. I mean, how many times have we known we were going into a fight? Other than the Blood Bowl...
I mean, with this group, you just assume every other interaction, right?
You're not wrong.
Right, but fight, like my character
fight,
is...
Fight! Fight!
I'm not just going to like walk around with a bowl of water in hands or a cistern of fire like on the
ready. I was just going to say, can't you just weld it to like your shoulder or something?
I mean, I did want to have that water elemental in the backpack container before.
Craig, I know you haven't seen it. Do you have HBO Max?
Not currently. I have in the past.
Okay. Well, you need to see Brendan Fraser as Robot Man in Doom Patrol, because I think if your character could become a little bit more Robot Man, that would be fantastic. That's just me. But you should definitely watch it as source material.
Yeah. Doom Patrol is on my to-do list.
Unfucking believably good show.
I'll put it higher on the to-do list. I don't know, Jeff.
While
we're plugging shows, I'll give one more extra plug for Black Sails.
Isn't it great? It is
phenomenal. I'm on season 3.
I never finished it, but man, it was good.
How about an elemental gem? Or a couple of elemental gems?
Those are one-time use, right?
Yes, they are, and they're 250 gold apiece.
Oh, well, that's a lot more affordable.
And a lot more practical. It's one action to smash it.
Yeah. Well, inquire if elemental gems are an option.
Yes. The shopkeeper tells you that he does indeed have some of them stored away, and that because they are once again a common trinket that students like to make because they are simple, and every enchanting student loves summoning shit, even though they aren't summoners and should know better. And they should really do so under supervision more often.
Kellen is really rubbing off on you guys, isn't he? Probably figuratively and literally.
Oh.
He has 7 gems available.
I'm not remembering, so maybe someone can answer before I look it up here. Is it you buy one elemental gem and then you pick the elemental at the time, or do you pick the...
They're all different colors.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And I just rolled,
had it pulled up.
I just rolled the d4s. So he has 2 for air elementals, 1 for an earth elemental, 2 for fire elementals, and 2 for water elementals.
Air is blue, earth is yellow, fire is red, and water is green.
You know what? I'm kind of thinking like grab one of each and then just keep the rest of the gold in reserve. What are you thinking?
I think that's a good idea.
He's selling them for 275 apiece.
Okay.
Are you still planning on selling him the sword?
Yes. I could not afford them without selling the sword.
Okay, so you're just selling it for gold pieces then?
I mean, gold minus whatever the cost for the four gems.
Yeah, okay, so he'll give you 5,000 gold for the sword, and we'll also give you one of each of those stones.
Cool. Call that a... I'm going to call that a day if you're good, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm good.
Meet back up with the boys.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What sort of place do you want to find to spend the night?
Do they have a very not classy brothel?
You could go from squalid all the way to aristocratic, depending on how much you want to spend.
Like on that scale of 1 to 10, like a 7?
Let's spin the wheel of deviancy.
Our title track, They Left Me In Here, was composed by Daniel Rann as part of the Beyond Skyrim Bruma original soundtrack and is being utilized under Creative Commons 4 Attribution Sharealike license. Enjoy what you heard? Check us out online at rancorsbrothel.com and the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this show with your friends. Want to chat? Follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel or by emailing therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. To interact with other fans, check out the Fans of the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.